Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. We continue in our series in the book of Acts. I think it's pretty cool as we walk through entire now in the book of Acts, we get to see all these incredible themes. And I think the main theme that we've been seeing through over the last few months is that the church is called to go and make disciples. We are continually reminded to go and make disciples, to spread the name of Jesus, to share the gospel. We've gotten to see so far just like the beginnings of the early church, how it began to spread through the world. We're just now beginning to see that. And then even within that, we get to have these little mini-series within the book. And so for the last few weeks, we have been looking at the story of who? Stephen. That's right. So we kind of go back with just a little tiny review here, just kind of where we are. And we first saw Stephen early in chapter 6. He was a man who was living for the Lord. And basically, the church simply picked him to be a servant. There were thousands of people coming to know Christ and coming to the Lord, and there needed to be some type of organization. They were starting to deal with the need to help people with food and benevolent issues. And so the church said, we've got to pick some men here to help us so that the apostles can continue to study and to preach and to do those things. So Stephen was picked to serve. And that is exactly what he did. And in that obedience, God began to use him in a mighty, mighty way. So how was he able to be used so effectively by the Lord? We began to see that just a couple of weeks ago. We saw that Stephen was filled up. That's kind of the term that we use. He was full of all these things because of Jesus. He was full of the Spirit. He was full of grace. He was full of Christ's power. He was full of wisdom. He was full of courage. And how was he filled up? Is because he was walking with the Lord. He was abiding in Christ. He was spending time with Jesus and his relationship, praying and those things. And so he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was able to be used by God. He simply just kept going where God was working and joined God in his work. He didn't set out to be some great preacher. He obviously did not set out to be a martyr. He simply set out to serve the Lord. He simply shared the gospel with boldness. He didn't set out to shake the religious council to their core. He simply followed the leading of the Spirit, and he went. Christ said, go and make disciples, and that's what Stephen did. And so we look at him with great encouragement and great inspiration. It's like, this is a man that just said, you know what? Here I am, Lord, send me where I'm supposed to go. I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm going to go serve the church. But I'm also going to go, and wherever I go, wherever you're working, I'm going to join you there. I'm going to share the gospel with boldness. What we can do that too. These are not, this was just a man, just a person, just like us, that had a relationship with Jesus, and he went. And because of Stephen's boldness, he ended up being taken to trial for the things that he was saying. He was speaking truth, but the religious leaders, many of the Jews, the religious council that hated Christ, that hated what he stood for, hated the truth, began to twist his words, and they began to bring in these witnesses that twisted what he was saying, and he ended up being taken to trial for the things that he was saying. And so last week, we got to look at that really long, powerful sermon that he preached to the religious leaders. They basically said, is this what you've been saying? And that opened the door, and he began to share with them the history of God's work. And why did he do that? He did that to help these people, these religious leaders, see that they had a false spiritual confidence, a confidence in religion, basically. And so Stephen, in that super long sermon that he gave with all this history that came from the Old Testament, Stephen used three pillars of their faith and religion to show them that they had a false security. What were the three things that they had a false security in? They had a false security in the land. They simply said, well, you know what? We live in Palestine, so that was the promised land. So that they just assumed that that was the blessing, but that is not the blessing. Who was the blessing?
Christ,
right? That's what the blessing, true blessing is. They also thought that elevating the law, that like following the rules and following all the, that was their security. They thought that having the temple brought them security, that they had this church, this building that they would meet in, and that was their security. But all of those three pillars that they believed in, that they had faith in, fell short, because it is only through Christ that we can find salvation. Do we believe that? Is there an amen out there? Amen. Yeah. It's not our land, it's not our country, that's the blessing. It's not following rules and trying to be a good person. That's not what gives us salvation. It's not church membership, or that you go to church, or that you tell someone that I've been going to church my whole life. None of that brings salvation. Only Jesus Christ. Only a relationship with Jesus. Only coming to the end of yourself, acknowledging that your sin separates you from God, and that trust and belief and faith in Jesus Christ, that is the only thing that will ever bring you salvation. That is the only thing that will ever bring you hope. You can try to find hope in all sorts of things. You can try to find hope in wealth and just having stuff and you know, things going okay, but that is will never bring you salvation. It's only faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Okay, we're on the same page here, right? And so this is what Stephen was telling this religious council. He was showing them this, that they fell short, that they had this false sense of security. We know that this comes just straight from Jesus' words, right? Jesus, when he was walking the earth, when he was teaching and he was telling about God's kingdom, he said in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Some people say, "Well, that's very exclusive. That's God loved us so much that he did provide a way. He provided a way. Jesus is the way, but he's the only way." And when the religious leaders heard all of this, an amazing thing happened, right? They all fell to their knees. They began weeping. They're like, "So sorry. You are so right, Stephen. It is all about Jesus." They repented of their sin, and there was a revival that broke out in that council. Is that what happened? Unfortunately, they did not get on their knees in repentance. They did not ask Stephen, like so many of the Jews were asking. You remember when Peter began to preach and all these people were coming to know Jesus, scripture says that people were saying, "What do we do?" These religious leaders were not saying that. No, it was quite the opposite. Scripture tells us that they were enraged. Completely enraged, and then they acted on that anger. Let's read this passage, Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, and we see the stoning of Stephen, the death of Stephen. We see what took place in this moment, and we're going to look at that this morning. Starting in verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell." God, thank you for you so much for Jesus. We sing these songs about Christ being everything, and you are, Lord. We're here not to be entertained. We're here not to be about ourselves. We're here to worship you and to proclaim you as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we're here to give you all the glory. And then now we get to open your word that is truth, that is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts deep to our hearts for those who are believers. And I do pray for those that are here that do not know you, that maybe are just religious, or maybe they just really have that false sense of security that they have some church membership or they've been going to church, but they have never had a relationship with you. I pray that your word this morning would cut deep to their hearts and call them to repentance and call them to a faith and trust in you. And Lord, for those of us that are believers, I pray that this passage this kind of awful passage of seeing one of your children being put to death for their faith, I pray it would give us a reminder of our call. It would give us encouragement. It would give us inspiration to follow you and to share you with others, but it would also help us to see the very contrast of what it means to not know Jesus and those people, those religious leaders that were so far from you. God, speak to us this morning. Bring us to a place of repentance. Bring us to a place of looking deep into our hearts and saying, where am I falling short? Where am I lifting up the world or looking at other things or simply, where am I, what I just need? God, we love you. And again, we are excited to open your word and study it and that you would speak to our hearts this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. So this morning we look at the death of Stephen and our human side reacts with anger, right? We look back at that story and like, how dare you? How dare you, religious people, that you would come to this point where you would kill someone that followed Jesus. We have this anger at these religious men. We also react with sadness for what Stephen went through. We put ourselves in that position like, how would I be able to do that? Would I be able to stand there? Would I be able to say these things and speak boldly for Christ and be okay and then face death like he did? We react with anger towards those men. We react with sadness towards Stephen. But for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a relationship. We also are encouraged in so many ways because we see the strength that Stephen was given, right? We look at him and like, oh my goodness, look what Jesus did for him. We see the grace that he was given. We see the courage that he had. We see the love. We see the spiritual insight that he was allowed to see. All these really incredible things that we see in this passage. And so what I want to do this morning in this message, and there's not a lot of verses here, but I want to walk through this Stephen's death, through the stoning of Stephen, and I want to compare and contrast what Stephen's life looked like compared to those that were the religious leaders, okay? So we're going to look at what did Stephen have and what did the religious leaders have? What were they experiencing at this time? So the first thing that we see is this. If you're taking notes, there are going to be several contrasts here, okay? So you can write these down if you need to. The first contrast is this. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders were filled with anger. That's the contrast, okay? That's the difference that we see. We would have loved to have had a passage where these religious leaders were falling to their knees in repentance, but that's not what happened. So we see the two sides. That Stephen, who had Christ, or the religious leaders who did not have Jesus. And what was the difference? Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders were filled with anger. If you look back at verse 54 and a little bit of 55. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. That's the religious leaders. But he, full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen's sermon that he gave to them basically signed his death warrant. He said those things and it was over. It enraged the council. I try to picture this scene and how they reacted, but the words are very strong here. God's word does not say they got pretty mad. No, it says they were enraged. Some translations say that they were cut to the quick. That means this: they became violently emotional. I don't know if you've ever experienced anger in your life, or you've experienced road rage, or you experience things that just like, or you had one of those parenting moments that you look back and are so mad at yourself for the way you reacted, or you know, whatever it is. But these Pharisees, this religious council, they became violently emotional, which means this: all of their being was affected by their anger, everything inside them. That's pretty mad. But it goes on and says, then they grinded their teeth. Like, what a statement that is. Not only were they angry in every part of their body, they were emotionally angry, but then they were grinding their teeth. Or some might say they were gnashing their teeth. And I think of that phrase, and I think about other times that I've seen that phrase, gnashing of teeth. And I think it's interesting here that this is a picture of men who were lost. They did not know Jesus, and they were gnashing their teeth. And I go back to Jesus' words when he was warning the unbelieving Jews of what would happen if they rejected Christ, okay? So Jesus said, this is what's going to happen if you reject me. And now we fast forward to these men who had rejected Christ, and they were gnashing their teeth. And I go back to Jesus' words, Matthew 13, 41 through 43. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and what? Gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Did we just see Stephen when they looked at him and he was like shining bright with Jesus? The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. He was saying, don't reject me. But now we fast forward, and here's Stephen, who knew Christ, who was shining bright. They saw this in him, and things that he said were truth, and it brought them to complete anger, and they were gnashing their teeth, grinding their teeth. And so we see the contrast here. These angry, hate-filled men grinding their teeth, filled with anger, compared to Stephen, shining bright, filled with the Holy Spirit. It says here in verse 55 that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Why is this so important for us to see in this moment, okay? This is important for all of us, that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was filled up. He was filled up. That meant he was spending time with the Lord. He was abiding with the Lord. He was praying. He was seeking God. He was walking with the Lord, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It meant for Stephen that he did not have to take some drastic step to deal with the situation. Does that make sense? Like here he was. It wasn't like he's like, oh dear, now I'm going to face death. What do I do? No, he's just like, here I am. I'm already walking with the Lord. I'm already filled up. I'm going to go to the next thing. I'm going to deal with this because Christ is with me. He was ready. He was able to face whatever circumstance, right? He was content with the situation. He had strength because he was filled up. He had courage. He wasn't like, oh, I need to go get some courage. It was just right there. He had grace. He had everything he needed because he was already filled up, right? Think about your life, believers. Think about us as believers and the way we often deal with life. We often don't seek the Lord, right? We often... We're just like, well, yeah, I know I'm a Christian and I go to church, but then we don't spend time with him during the week. We don't seek him. We're not praying. We're not filling ourselves up. And then when situations that are hard hit us, what do? We freak out, right? Oh my gosh, what do we do? Oh no, what do I do? Oh no. We just, you know, and we can't, like, well, I can't believe this would be happening to me. You know, and then someone comes like, well, have you prayed about it? It's like, oh yeah, gosh, that's a great idea. I didn't think about that. Have you said what James tells us is like, hey, call out for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. Oh yeah. And people are like, are you a Christian? Do you know these things? Like, we spend so much of our time being distracted, and then when tough things happen, we are blindsided by them, right? Here's the difference in Stephen. He was walking with the Lord. He was just there. He had what he needed, right when he needed, because he was already filled up. Even facing, what are you going through right now that God wants to use you, to use in you to bring glory to him? What trial are you facing that he might just be like, hey, I want to use your life to bring glory to me? What are you facing? I think of the classic passage from Paul that we take out of context, and because of football season, we take out of context all the time. It's Philippians 4:13, right? Okay? That's not about winning football games, guys, okay? It's not. I'm sorry. It's not about making A's on your test when you don't study. It's not. Let me tell you what verse 12 says, okay? Before that verse, Paul says this, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The strength is found by just walking with the Lord, whether you're facing hard or good. The strength is being filled up with Jesus Christ and being able to say, whatever I'm facing, I have Christ. That's where my strength is. And whatever he wants to do with me in this terrible situation that I feel like is really hard, you know what? I have Christ. I can be content in that, and Jesus will be glorified. If I'm going through great times and things seem to be going my way, guess what? That's because of Christ. So God, what can I do because things are good to bring you glory? How can I help someone? How can I, whatever it is. Paul got it. Stephen faced death. He looked at these religious leaders who were grinding their teeth, and he had everything he needed. He didn't have to go, wait, I need to go pray. No, he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. He was content. He was trusting the Lord. He had what he needed. This is about contentment. It's about grace. It's about strength. Whatever you are facing, good or bad, great or difficult, in Christ we find strength. Not our own strength, not our own abilities, because what happens when things are good? We start thinking, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. When we go through something bad, it's like, what am I doing wrong? You know, it's like, that's how we deal with things. This is about Jesus. And this was the contrast here. The religious leaders, they were filled with anger. They were filled with hatred. And here was the difference. Stephen shining bright, filled with the Holy Spirit. My question to all of us this morning, my question to myself, every question that I ask from this stage, from this time together is questions that I ask myself. What is your life filled with right now? Stephen's was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled up. That doesn't mean he was perfect or that he never sinned, but he was filled up. He was abiding. He was growing. Christ was with him. He was following the Lord. He was speaking truth. Stephen was filled up. What is our life? What is your life filled up with right now? Is your life filled up with anger? Is it filled up with worry? Is it filled up with pride? Is it filled up with lust? Is it filled up with materialism? Is it filled up with gossip? Is it filled up with selfishness? Is it filled up with resentment? Or are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled up where the fruit of the Spirit is overflowing? Goodness and grace and love and joy and all these things. You can be filled up if first you have a relationship with Jesus and if you are abiding in Him. If you're abiding in Him, reading God's Word, praying and having conversations and crying out to the Lord, seeking Him, coming to a place where you're like, I'm going to go worship. I'm not going to worship myself, I'm going to worship Jesus. And I'm going to go worship Jesus with a bunch of broken people because we're going to lift up the name of Jesus. And I'm going to go study God's Word with them. I'm going to go meet with someone that I can trust and pray with. Are you abiding in Him? That's how we are filled up. That's the first contrast. The second contrast is this, that we see between the religious leaders and Stephen. Stephen, he had spiritual sight. The religious leaders had spiritual blindness. Stephen walking with the Lord who knew Christ, he had spiritual sight. These religious leaders who were lost without Jesus, they had spiritual blindness. Look at verse 55 through 57. He was full of spirit and says this, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then now we look at the religious leaders. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Stephen was filled up, which meant this. He was abiding in Christ, seeking Christ, spending time with Him. And when believers are doing this, guess what? They are seeking the things of Christ, seeking things above. And when believers are doing this, guess what? We begin to have the mind of Christ. We have spiritual sight. We begin to see Jesus and the things of Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And this is what Stephen was doing. Scripture says that in this moment, Stephen gazed intently into heaven, and guess what he saw? Guess what God allowed him to see? The glory of God. That is incredible. In this moment, as he faces death, as these men became so enraged and grinding their teeth and were beginning to rush at him, he got to look because he was filled up. He was walking with the Lord, and God allowed him to see into heaven and see the glory of God. And guess who he saw there? He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That is so important. That is so important that we see that word there. Jesus was what? Was he seated? He was standing at the right hand of God. God allowed Stephen's eyes to see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right. And I think this is so interesting because how does Scripture portray Christ in heaven all the time? How is he portrayed? Anyone? Seated, right? And there's a reason for that. He sat down. It meant it's finished, right? God's work was finished. He sat down. But in this moment for Stephen, Jesus is standing. And I believe this shows so much for us. I believe this shows just how personal our relationship with Christ is. Jesus was concerned for Stephen. He stood up. He's seated. Yeah, the work is finished. But in this moment for Stephen, as Stephen faced death for him, Jesus stood up. He was standing there. He was as if he was welcoming Stephen to heaven. And I love this image. I love this image. Believer, you come in this place and you're so worried or depressed or angry or dealing with all this stuff. And you're like, my life's so terrible. All this, you know, if you're a believer, guess what? You are a child of God. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God if you know Jesus. And the thing is, do you believe it? Do you really believe that Jesus loves you? Because sometimes I feel like if all you have is religion, you don't know what the love of Jesus is. You just know rules and regulations and do this or don't do that, or my parents told me not to do that. I mean, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you experience the love of God? This is Jesus standing there and saying, I've got you, Stephen, I've got you. I've got you, and I will never let you go. Jesus is saying that to you this morning too. I've got you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. Do you trust him? Run into his arms. Let him embrace you. Let him take over. Spend time with him. Stephen was filled up, and then God gave him spiritual eyes to see this beautiful picture of Jesus saying. But what did the religious leaders have? Stephen was standing there looking into the glory of God and seeing Jesus, and these religious leaders were spiritually blind. They didn't even want to hear. I look at this passage and I see little children running around going, they were covering their ears like little kids. It's like, I'm not listening. I'm so childish. They cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears. And in their rage, they rushed upon Stephen to kill him. Stephen had spiritual sight. The religious leaders had spiritual blind. And that brings us to the third contrast. Stephen had life. The religious leaders had death. Look at verses 58 through 50. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he cried out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus. There's been some disagreement among scholars as to whether Stephen was, you know, like rushed by a mob and just slaughtered, or whether they tried to make it look legal, like a legal execution. And it seems by Scripture, by these few verses, that the council tried to make it seem legal. And we kind of get this picture because they took him out of the city. I mean, that was like a step. It's like, let's get him out of here. But then in the way that they killed him was not the way they did things. They just started throwing rocks at him. That's not the way they did it. That's not the way legally they were. Because I believe in their anger, they couldn't help themselves. They were so enraged, and they began to throw rocks at him. And that the grisly truth is this, is that to throw a rock at someone, it would take some time to kill someone, especially a young man like Stephen, right? In fact, I believe that it was hard to kill him, which is why they then had to take off certain garments so they could have more leverage, so they could have the ability to throw rocks better at him. They took their garments off to get the job done. Yet in this terrible moment, in this moment brought on by religious leaders filled with death, Stephen had life. Stephen had true life. Life in Christ. They began stoning him. They laid their garments at the feet of a man named Saul, which we're going to see what God does with him in the coming weeks. But in this moment, Stephen's words were this, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He had true life in Christ. Who does that statement remind us of? Does that remind us of Jesus on the cross? Jesus, this very reminiscent of Christ on the cross, crying out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus committing himself to the Father, Stephen committing himself to Jesus, seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen was confident. He was confident in his life in Christ, and upon his death, his physical death, he would go immediately to be with Jesus. Immediately to be with Jesus. We see that in Scripture. Jesus was standing there welcoming him. We saw that with the thief on the cross, and when Jesus said, hey, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Stephen had found life in Christ. Friend, do you know this life? Because if you don't know Christ, you are dead in your sin. And if you were to die, you would spend eternity apart from Jesus. That's the truth. These religious leaders, they were filled with death. They hated Christ. They were opposed to Christ. Yet Stephen, filled with life, and in this terrible moment, he was there seeing Jesus. He had. Have you placed your trust in Christ? The wages of sin is these religious leaders, although they were physically alive in this moment, they were dead in their. But Stephen, in contrast, had true life. He had eternal life. And even in this most terrible moment of his life, we see something so amazing. So amazing in this one final contrast between Stephen and the religious leaders. And it's this. Look at verse 60. Rocks are coming at you. Rocks are being thrown. They're grinding their teeth. They're running around in anger and they're throwing and they're killing. They're murdering you. They're killing you. And then Stephen, in his final moment, said this. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin. And when he said this, he fell. You got to be filled up with the Holy Spirit to be in that moment and then cry out, hey, God, don't hold this against these guys. See, Stephen had love. The religious leaders had hate. That's the difference. Christ in Stephen, he had love. No Christ, filled with anger, filled with death, filled with hate. This mob continued to hurl stones at him, hitting him all over his body. I can't imagine what that would feel like. I mean, if you ever just been hit with a pebble and how much that hurt. But Stephen, being filled up, was able in these last few moments of his life to show love. Stephen fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And we look at that and we're like, what? How? How could he do that? How could he even be at that point? These men were killing him, and he was able to say this. Here's the thing, guys, and this is true for all of us. Many of us, several of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, because we don't share things. We hide a lot of stuff. But many of us in this room have anger and resentment and grudges for people that have hurt us. We all do. This man was being killed, and he was able to cry out, don't hold this sin against them. Stephen had true love. This was grace. These men were filled with hate. And we look at this and we think, there's no way. Because we look at our own selves, right? I could never love like that to someone that's hurt me or hurting me. Well, here's the good news. You might think that, and you might be deceived by that in your life, but Scripture tells us we can love like that, but not in our own power. Not in our own power. It's only in Christ. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can love like that because God's love who sent his only son to die for us, God's love who sent his son to the cross to die for us, that love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we can sit there and go, I could never do that. But that's not true. For Christians, we can. But it has to be us being filled up. It has to be us abiding in him. It has to be us spending time with the Lord. It has to be us being filled with the Holy Spirit so that the fruits of the Spirit are pouring out of us. The only way that we can have spiritual sight like Stephen, spiritual life, spiritual love, is to be filled with the Spirit like Stephen was. Here's the thing, okay? Christ saves, right? We can put our trust in Christ. We can know Christ, have the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily be filled up, right? How many of you guys have ever been in the desert, so to speak, spiritually? Some of us, maybe right now. We can know Christ and yet be far from him in a relationship based on just walking with him. We can have salvation in him. We can, you know, we can think about the prodigal son and being far away. We can be walking in the desert and not be filled up. To be filled up, we must spend time with Christ. We must abide in Christ. We must spend time in prayer, in his word. What a powerful moment we've got to see. And the tough question is this. Here's the really tough question. Are you ready? Okay? I want you to think about only yourself. Don't think about anybody else in the room. Don't think about anybody you know. Think, this is a question for you. Who are we more like? Stephen or these religious leaders? Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders were filled with anger. Is your life filled with the Holy Spirit or is your life filled up with anger? Stephen was filled with spiritual sight. The religious leaders were filled with spiritual blindness. Are you seeking the things above or are you seeking the things of this world? Because if you're seeking the things of the world, you're blind. You are blind and you're not seeing what God is doing. But if you're setting your mind on the things above and you're seeking after Christ, then you have spiritual sight. Stephen was filled with life in Christ. The religious leaders were dead in their sin. The religious leaders were filled with, but here's the good news, okay? There's good news. The gospel means what? Good news, right? The gospel is good news. The good news is this. If you relate more with the religious leaders, guess what? There is hope. Hope in Christ. Christ forgives. We can come to him in repentance. There is mercy and grace in Christ. We must come in repentance. For some, it might mean coming for the very first time in trust and obedience, faith in Christ. Trusting Jesus as your Savior. For some of us as believers, it might mean just coming to repentance, coming in repentance, seeing those areas of our life that need to be dealt with. Guess what? Good news is this, Christ forgives. Christ forgives. For some of us, it might mean that you're just simply just dry and stagnant and you're not being filled up with the Holy Spirit. It might mean this morning a type of recommitment, just like I need to get back to my time with the Lord. What an encouragement Stephen was to our life, right? We look back at that and we're like, it's incredible. It's incredible. There is hope. There is grace. There is joy. There is salvation in Christ alone. Let's pray. We come to this time of, we call it reflection. We call it response. And it's really just allowing God's word to soak into our hearts. We're asking those questions. We're saying, Lord, help me to be more like you. What are those areas of my life? Maybe for some, it's simply like, I know I need Jesus. Some of us, you might feel like you've been religious or you might feel like you had some church membership, but you know that you don't walk with the Lord and you don't have a relationship with Christ. And this morning, you know that you need to find a relationship with Jesus. For some of us, it's simply coming to this time of worship and response and coming to our knees, so to speak, maybe at our seats or even coming up to the front and just getting on our knees and saying, forgive me of these areas of my life that I know need to be changed and forgiven. For some, it's just like, Lord, I am so stagnant. I'm so dry. And you know you just need to turn, and Jesus is there. You're looking, and you say, he's just standing there. He's like, I've got you. I've got you. Some of us are walking around with so much worry and anger and despair. We need to look up and know that Christ is there, and just let him embrace us and hold us and come back to walking with him. And I pray that you would move. As we sing, as we worship, as we pray, would you please just move in our heart? There's power in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we call on you. We love you, Jesus. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen.